Welcome to East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm your volunteer reader, Kim Chupa Cornell. For today, Thursday, June 25th, we are focusing on Ahwatukee and Tempe. First up is Ahwatukee. Group selling Club West course a month after buying it. By Paul Marinac, AFN Executive Editor. The Club West golf course is up for sale, less than a month after The Edge unloaded it. But it's a safe bet Duffers won't be using the site again. A consortium of 15 investors had planned to build homes and retail on the 162-acre parcel, and they're marketing it to companies that will want to do the same. According to the commercial real estate tracker Vizda.com, The Edge on May 29th sold the 18-hole course and 11,196-square-foot clubhouse for $2.1 million to the Community Harmony Coalition, LLC. That sale came a few months after The Edge won a ferocious four-year court battle with a group of homeowners called the Club West Conservancy, who insisted it was not allowed to sell any portion of the site to a home builder. The Conservancy also insisted that the land use rights governing the course required it to be used only for golf, and that Shea Homes and its predecessor, UDC Homes, promised in sale agreements with home buyers that the site would always remain a championship golf course. Following hundreds of pages of court filings and a five-day non-jury trial last August, a Superior Court judge ruled against the Conservancy, declaring The Edge could do what it wanted with the property. The four partners who comprised The Edge bought the site in 2019 for $750,000 from Wilson Gee, who had stopped irrigating the course 10 years ago because he could no longer afford the cost of city potable water. The course has no wells, and the city in 2003 had torn down a reclamation plant that provided the course with wastewater. The Edge in 2020 had laid out its plans to Club West homeowners to sell three parcels to home builder Taylor Morrison and turn the site into a smaller 18-hole course with a new clubhouse. When some homeowners balked and Taylor Morrison dropped out, The Edge then advanced a plan for a community park and solicited ideas from the community for amenities. Left unsaid was any plan to still sell pieces of the course to pay for that park. While their lawyers were fighting in the courts with the Conservancy, The Edge's partners were already negotiating 4 years ago with the Community Harmony Coalition to sell the land if it won its court fight, according to attorney Philip Rubrick, who represents the current owner. But the coalition principals no longer are interested in the site because the case dragged on longer than they anticipated. Their business interests have changed, and they no longer want to develop the property, he added. Rubrick described the coalition as a group of 80 to 90% Arizona, Valley-based business people, probably all of whom have invested in or developed real estate in the Valley over the years. It's a group that saw maybe an opportunity with the Club West property and pooled their money together to invest in it. While the case dragged on in court, the coalition was making preliminary plans for the site. They had layouts and homes here and some commercial property on Chandler Boulevard, Rubrick said. But it's all very preliminary. They did invest time, money, and thinking through what it could look like, but they're not going to use it anymore. Though the coalition principals gave quite a bit of thought to how the site might be developed and were going to be the driving force of the development, they've changed their minds and are casting their sights elsewhere, he explained. They're going to sell their property to somebody else, and then that company will eventually be going to the city of Phoenix and making a proposal saying this is what we want to do with it. While the housing market has gone through turbulent times in recent years, Rubrick said that that had nothing to do with their loss of interest in the course. Moreover, he added, even if Community Harmony were to sell it to somebody today, they probably wouldn't have a home on the market for 2 years. Those sorts of companies aren't looking at the same things that I look at, which is if the Fed raises interest rates half an interest point, what's that going to do to demand? They're not really looking at that. They're saying, well, what are the more long-term trends? And if the long-term trends are that we have a housing shortage in the country and we're going to need to build homes, then they're going to be buying land to build homes even if interest rates peak. He added, so it isn't the market, it isn't the current conditions, it was that the principals had other business interest and they don't want to be in the home building business as they did 4 years ago. They don't want to be in it today. While the land is already shopped around, Rupkrik agreed that it will be at least several years before a shovel ever hits the land. Any buyer would have to determine the infrastructure cost of things like water and sewer lines, topography, and other factors, even before a plan could be presented to Phoenix planners. And then likely would have to go through the approval process once it met planning staff scrutiny, starting with Ahwatukee Foothills Village Planning Committee through the Planning Commission, and ultimately the City Council. It was worth thinking about, Rupkrik said of the coalition's initial interest. It was worth exploring, but until the litigation got over with, why would you invest any serious money in any specific proposal until you knew how the case was going to go? Up next, Ahwatukee Vet Helps Seniors Stay in Their Home by AFN staff. For Alexander Mock, helping seniors remain safely in their homes isn't just a business model. It's a mission shaped by military service, years spent working alongside hospice nurses and families, and a belief that caring for people often means caring for the homes they live in. That mission recently took another step forward when Mock's Ahwatukee-based company, LiveWell Home Services, joined the vendor network of Sun Health at Home, a nonprofit organization that helps older adults age safely and independently in their homes. Under the arrangement, Sun Health at Home will refer members needing home modifications, maintenance, and accessibility improvements to LiveWell. While the partnership represents a significant milestone for the young company, Mock said the idea behind LiveWell began years earlier in a very different setting. Originally from Massachusetts, Mock served as an Army infantryman in Afghanistan from 2010 to 2011 before eventually finding a new calling in hospice care. I came to work in hospice out of my call to service, Mock said. From 2017 to 2021, he worked in hospice advocacy, helping veterans and other patients navigate some of the most difficult periods of their life. During those years, he spent countless hours inside the homes of seniors and medically fragile individuals. What he noticed was a pattern. As people's health declined, the condition of their homes also declined. Many families struggle with maintenance issues, accessibility concerns, and repairs that made it increasingly difficult for older adults to continue to live independently. Mock began to see an opportunity to combine his experience helping people with practical home services. I knew I could take my care for others and experience and create something new, he said. That vision became LiveWell Home Services, a licensed contracting company specializing in helping seniors age in place. The company provides accessibility modifications, tub-to-shower conversions, grab bar installations, maintenance work, renovations, and other home services designed to help older adults remain in their homes. Mock said his years in hospice taught him that successful care often depends on a network of people working together. We meet everyone where they are and assist through resource assistance as well, he said. I noticed that I can be the eyes and ears for the other organizations, which leads to more proactive care rather than reactive. One experience in particular reinforced that belief. Mock recalled spending time with a fellow veteran during the final days of his life. During that week, the man began to share wartime experiences he had never previously discussed with family members. The nurse told me that his family was incredibly grateful as he opened up with war stories he never told anyone, and he could tell he was finally at peace, Mock said. It was a very powerful moment for me that I can make a tangible difference in this world. Today, LiveWell serves clients throughout the Valley. The company is licensed, bonded, and insured, and also accepts access-funded modification work for eligible clients. The new relationship with Sun Health at Home provides access to a broader network of seniors and care professionals seeking trusted home service providers. The biggest advantage to being added to the Sun Health Network is connecting with a verified and professional network, Mock said. This allows us to open doors we never thought possible. Paul Stavros, Sun Health at Home Vice President, said the partnership aligns with the organization's mission of helping older adults remain in their homes as long as possible. Sun Health at Home is committed to connecting members with trusted resources that support their ability to live confidently at home, Stavros said in announcing the partnership. We are pleased to welcome LiveWell Home Services to our vendor network to help our members age in place. Looking ahead, Mock hopes to continue expanding LiveWell's reach while maintaining its focus on service. Our goal is to create a statewide program, he said. LiveWell is at the head of leading the way for senior care in Arizona. For more information, call 480-772-7714 or see their website, livewellhs.com. Next up, Vets Book Addresses an Utterly Unacceptable Gap by Paul Marinac, AFN Executive Editor. Most children know milk comes from cows. What surprised Ahwatukee veteran Dr. Michelle Shack was that they don't know how it gets to the refrigerators. When Shack surveyed 100 children ages 4 to 8, many of them from Ahwatukee, she found that 88% knew milk originated with cows, but none could explain how it got from the farm to the grocery store. The discovery bothered Shack, one of six doctors in a Chandler practice that is the largest in Arizona, serving dairies across the state. I realized that if kids grew up thinking that milk went from farm to store and then later found out it got processed, that would sound pretty scary to them, she said. And when things are unknown or scary, our minds start filling in the blanks and our imaginations run wild. When I started thinking about this educational gap, I knew I had to help reconnect kids with food systems. And what better way to do that than a book? And so the mother of two wrote Milk from Cow to Carton, a STEM picture book to help kids in kindergarten through second grade understand how milk gets from the cow to the store. Shack said the results of her informal survey revealed something larger than a simple knowledge gap. They're disconnected from where their food comes from, she said. She chose June, National Dairy Month, to debut her book and address that disconnect. Shack's own connection to cows and farms grew out of a childhood fascination with veterinarian science. Indeed, the Northern California native said, I didn't touch a cow until college. Nevertheless, a longtime desire to be a vet led her to pursue animal science classes at the University of California, Davis. I loved it and I knew I found my place, she said. I love working outdoors. I love farmers and I love to get to work with them, providing the health and well-being for cows. I love playing a role in food security and food safety, and I love helping people understand where their food comes from. The book's publication is the latest chapter in an unlikely journey that eventually took Shack to Arizona dairy farms and social media audiences numbering in the hundreds. Many know her as Dairy Doc across TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, where she has built an audience of over 500,000 followers who tune in to learn about dairy cows, milk production, veterinary medicine, and agriculture. Her content generates roughly 8 million viewers each month. Her job focuses heavily on animal wellness, disease prevention, and food safety. Yet she says one of her biggest challenges isn't treating cows. It's correcting misconceptions. I think one of the biggest challenges is misinformation. I see online about dairy cows, dairy farming, and milk itself, she said. Being on a dairy farm is an experience many people don't have the opportunity to have. That concern ultimately pushed her onto social media. In 2021, she posted her first TikTok video explaining how cows are milked on a dairy farm. She continues to post to this day, and viewers respond. Many simply want answers from someone who actually works with dairy cattle every day. I want people to have a way to ask questions to someone working on dairy farms, she said. Shack hopes her book on milk's path from udders to refrigerators eventually finds its way into classrooms. She's working with the Arizona Farm Bureau's Ag in the Classroom program and exploring partnerships with Dairy Management West's Adopt-A-Cow educational initiative, which connects students with local dairy farms through virtual learning experiences. I thought it was important to write this book because understanding food shouldn't feel confusing, she said. I wanted to create something educational, positive, science-based, and fun that helps connect kids with where their food comes from. The book is available on Amazon. To see her videos, search Dairy Doc on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. You're listening to East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm your volunteer reader, Kim Chupa Cornell. For today, Thursday, June 25th, focusing on Ahwatukee and Tempe. Up next in Tempe News, Testy Evitt Fight Heading Back to Court by Paul Marinac, Tribune Executive Editor. The bitter dispute between 9 school districts and the East Valley Institute of Technology is scheduled to return before a Maricopa County Superior Court judge on Wednesday, with both sides appearing no closer to an agreement than they were a year ago. With an estimated 3,400 students who attend Evitt's Mesa campuses for career and technical CTE education programs 5 half-days a week are wondering how they'll get there, Judge Christopher Corey will confront 2 major issues at the heart of the dispute. One issue is whether districts may continue using tens of millions of dollars previously received through Evitt for district-operated CTE programs after the parties' agreements expired. The other is who has the authority over the district's satellite programs at their high schools, which serve over 20,000 students. In the meantime, hundreds of parents have signed up with a Facebook group called Evitt Carpools to find transportation for their children from their high school to one of Evitt's Mesa campuses. What appears like a possible break in the impasse on June 12th dissolved the next day in a harsh response by Evitt to the districts. The 9 districts on June 12th announced they had given Evitt a counterproposal to its suggestion that 2 intergovernmental agreements, IGAs, be created, one for students attending Evitt's Mesa campuses and the other for those taking CTE courses on their campuses. The districts were partly responding to a decision earlier in the week by the Evitt Governing Board to cover the entire transportation cost for those enrolled in Mesa-based programs. Evitt initially offered to pay half of the estimated $4 million cost, and because the districts balked, its board agreed to pay the whole cost in the hopes of easing the minds of anxious students and parents. Evitt Superintendent Dr. Chad Wilson, on June 13th, issued a caustic response to the district's counteroffer, blasting them for refusing to engage in individual negotiation. This is not about students, educational opportunity, or even funding equity. It is about control, Wilson said. The language of student-centered funding is being used for political cover for a fight over control. The failure to agree on the new IGAs has involved Evitt's demands for more control of the district campus programs and what they contend is less of a share of the state money Evitt wants to give them. The districts that filed suit are Tempe Union, Chandler Unified, Gilbert Public Schools, Higley Unified, Queen Creek Unified, J.O. Combs, Cave Creek Unified, Apache Junction Unified, and Fountain Hills. 3 other districts, Scottsdale Unified, Mesa Public Schools, and American Leadership Academy, reached new agreements with Evitt over a year ago. Wilson on June 9 suggested 2 IGAs. The historical practice of using a single comprehensive agreement unnecessarily complicates these negotiations. By attempting to address both central campus and satellite campus programming in one document, Wilson said, adding, those are district issues with different operational and policy considerations, and attempting to resolve them together has impeded meaningful progress. Evitt believes the central campus issues are ready to be resolved, and that doing so will create a clear path for addressing satellite campus programming. The 9 districts 3 days later said that proposal failed to provide a framework for district-provided satellite programs, which serve more than 7 times as many students, and that they could not responsibly sign an incomplete document that ignored thousands of learners. The counterproposals bridge this gap by combining an EVIT Central campus agreement with an IGA for the district's satellite programs, also ensuring an equitable funding across all locations, the district said in their release. The districts are guided by a shared unwavering principle. Every child is a priority, and funding must follow the student to support their chosen educational path without compromising other essential areas of their curriculum, the joint statement said. This package offers a comprehensive approach to educating all children, reflecting the strategic plan and collaborative process the districts have requested since February 2025. Wilson replied June 13th, stating their argument that money follows students only works for them when it helps them capture funding, but then they abandon the principle the minute it empowers parents or results in direct resources going somewhere else. EVIT is a district, he added. Students enrolled in CTED, CTE programs at a local high school are part of the EVIT district. The funding generated by those students belongs within the district providing the opportunities. By the 9-member district's own argument, that funding should remain with EVIT. In essence, the argument between the two sides boils down to the district's assertion that state money follows CTE activity and EVIT's argument that state money follows its approval. As far as this newspaper's deadline, EVIT had not responded to the district's 2 latest filings. In the meantime, most of the 9 districts also have issued letters to parents that summarize their position in the lawsuit. Some also said that even EVIT's offer to cover $4 million in transportation cost did not cover the true expense of transporting students to and from its Mesa campuses. Tempe Union Superintendent Dr. Stacia Wilson, no relation to the EVIT superintendent, said 700 students attend EVIT's campuses and 6,100 are enrolled in district CTE programs. Every student matters and every 9 pathway deserves to be protected and supported, Wilson wrote. Without an improved IGA, funding to support the ongoing needs of the 6,000-plus students enrolled in CTE courses on TUHSD campuses will be in jeopardy. Tempe Union is committed to engaging in transparent, productive, and good-faith discussions focused on student outcomes, she said. Our focus remains unchanged, protecting opportunities for all Tempe Union CTE students while working toward agreements that are equitable, sustainable, and in the best interest of students, families, taxpayers, and the broader community. Next up, Tempe Elementary Slates Hearing on Property Tax Hike by Samantha Ray, Tribune staff writer. Tempe Elementary School District's reconstruction of 2 schools is underway, and to pay for some driveways and fire lanes related to the project, it plans to impose an adjacent ways property tax, a levy used for infrastructure such as streets. Tempe L will hold a hearing on 6 p.m. Wednesday, June 24th, at the district office at 3205 South Rural Road on its plan to raise $1.9 million through an adjacent ways tax. The tax would add $8.99 annually to the primary property tax bill for a home assessed at $100,000. The district is rebuilding both John J. Curry Elementary School and Connolly Middle School on adjacent sites near Concordia Drive and Meadow Drive in Tempe. The project is being funded through the district's 2022 bond program and is expected to be completed in 2027. District officials say the project will create a new Curry Elementary campus designed for 600 students and a new Connolly Middle School campus designed for 1,500 students. Construction began in October 2025. Under the plan, both schools will remain operational while new buildings are constructed on existing field areas. Construction is expected to be completed in June 2027 before the current buildings are demolished. According to district planning documents, the rebuild is guided by 3 primary goals: improving safety and security, creating flexible learning environments, and establishing a movement-focused campus that connects the 2 schools. The new Connolly campus will consist of 6 2-story buildings totaling approximately 167,000 square feet. Plans include flexible classrooms and labs, visual and performing arts spaces, outdoor learning areas, learning commons, and extensive athletic facilities, including a gymnasium, running track, football and soccer field, baseball and softball fields, and outdoor basketball courts. The rebuilt Curry Elementary campus will include 4 two-story buildings totaling approximately 72,000 square feet. Plans call for flexible classroom spaces, outdoor learning environments, an amphitheater, a learning commons, a regulation-sized gymnasium, and expanded play areas. District planners envision the neighboring schools operating independently while sharing a cohesive design and common athletic and activity spaces that can serve students from both campuses as well as the surrounding community. District officials said the tax increase would fund adjacent way improvements, including fire lanes and driveways needed to support the project. In our final story, Tempe Animal Rescue Seeks Pet Fosters by Tribune News staff. With families settling into more flexible summer routines, animal shelters across the country say now is a great time to consider fostering a shelter pet. The support is needed now more than ever as organizations care for growing numbers of animals with fewer resources, something Tempe-based Lost Our Home Pet Rescue is experiencing firsthand. That's why through July 31st, the shelter is taking part in the nationwide Foster 50 Challenge, led by the Pedigree Foundation. The goal is to recruit more foster families to care for shelter pets while they wait for their forever home. Last year, it helped recruit more than 9,000 new foster volunteers and supported nearly 37,000 pets entering foster care. Whether it's for a few weeks, a weekend, or just a quick doggy day out, spending time with a foster pet in or outside of your home is one of the best ways to help an animal in need, said Jody Polanski, founder of Lost Our Home Pet Rescue. Right now, we have many pets waiting for their forever home. If people can open their hearts and homes, these pets would really appreciate a break from the shelter. The foundation provides grants to nonprofit dog shelters and breed rescue organizations and helps dog lovers adopt, volunteer, and make donations. Lost Our Home is a no-kill shelter that was founded in 2008 in response to the thousands of pets in need due to the Phoenix area foreclosure crisis. Having helped 38,500 pets and 25,000 people, it is the first shelter in Maricopa County dedicated to rescuing pets abandoned or at risk of homelessness due to evictions, domestic violence, job loss, financial hardship, and illness. For information, contact lostourhome.org or call 602-445-7387. You've been listening to East Valley News for Ahwatukee and Tempe for today, June 25th, on Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm your volunteer reader, Kim Chupa Cornell. Remember, you can always hear Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or smart home device. Music is News 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 by Postadar de Musicas. Please join us next time for an upcoming episode.